Hello, this is Stormtrooper 1. In case you were just way too busy to listen to our last show, this is what you missed.
Is that at least we won't see Lando stealing any of Han Solo's clothes.
Finding out Han got killed and go, oh, that's a shame.
I mean, that would be a great...
Can I go through his wardrobe?
Call me a bad writer if you want, Dave, but that to me is a perfect story. I mean, Lando just conveniently comes back into the picture after Han Solo dies. He kind of swoops in on Leia and he starts going through his wardrobe. I'm like, well, you know, I stole his clothes when he was encased in carbonite. So let me now go through his clothes. Now the man's dead. Can I go and steal another pilot jacket? I need to add to my wardrobe. And also, Ray, don't keep my seat too warm in that Millennium Falcon ship. That's my seat.
Hello, what have we here?
Yeah. I don't know what Rian Johns is talking about, David. I mean, that would be just a great way to throw Lando into the story. He just starts being, he's a scrub, and he just goes through all of Han Solo's gear. He's, oh, I like that gun there. Those pairs of pants, I'll take those. I wonder if Lando actually appeared at the Han Solo estate sale. You know when people die, they do estate sales, they sell away all their property? I bet you Lando was the one there buying up everything.
What have we here?
He's the only one there. I have this shirt for sale right here.
Oh man, come on, Lando, that's not appropriate. The man died. He got cut, sliced through the gut by his own son. I mean, that's not...
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Lando.
Thank you.
That's
Lando.
That's more appropriate, Lando. What? He actually took the clothes that Han Solo got stabbed in, and he has a hole through the shirt. He's like, what? I'm starting a new style, guys. What?
I can fix this. It is fixable. It's fixable.
I'm pretty handy. I could sew. Leia, give me a sewing kit.
Chewie, come and fix this.
Anybody got a patch?
Dude, I think...
Give me the hydro spanders.
Won't you get going, you pirate?
Warning, from the back to tank contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue.
We would be honored if you would join us.
How are you feeling? Your latest workups on your condition indicate that all damage has been reversed. Recovery is total. I believe you have been quite fortunate. No further thanks are necessary, Commander, but you are most welcome. It is my function and pleasure as a medical droid to help and heal human beings.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Star Wars from the Back to Tank, the first show of 2018. I feel great.
Hooray.
I feel so good.
We did it.
I'm dancing right now with Ewoks.
We did it.
Keep them on your side.
Unfortunately, I couldn't afford Twi'lek dancers this year. I'm trying to cut back on expenses, David.
Is that why the Ewoks are in bikinis?
Yeah. Is that wrong? Is that... Yeah, we're going to see, you know, Wicket get on Twitter, hashtag me too.
Me too.
Listen, I just like the way Wicket swishes his hips. Is that wrong?
There's so much fur.
Yeah, if it's wrong, I don't want to be right, David. Yeah. All right, so it's been quiet on the Star Wars front after hordes of individuals began hating on The Last Jedi.
Yeah, hordes.
There seems to be nothing left to attack. I think Rian Johnson has been tossed into the back to tank so he can heal. He has been a victim of attacks like no other.
Dude, it's insane. Oh, my God.
David, I never thought we would see the day that somebody was ripped a new asshole much bigger than George Lucas was.
Well, and no, yeah, that's true.
This has gone down in history, The Last Jedi, which is unfair. Well, maybe not. It's gone down as one of the worst Star Wars films in history.
One of the worst. Yes.
And I'm not saying I agree with that per se. However, that's the general consensus. So hopefully Rian Johnson has managed to recover. He spent some time in those cute, sexy, hot back to shorts,
back to shorts
that Luke wore in Empire Strikes Back. Those exact same ones, in fact. And I found out that Mark Hamill likes to pee in the back to tank water. So Rian Johnson had to wear that, had to swim in the pee.
Yeah, it's Mark Hamill's pee.
Oh, it's heavenly pee then. It's pee filled with midichlorians.
Midichlorians.
All right. So there has not, as I said, been a lot of Star Wars news of late. We're waiting.
It's been silent.
Really has. And we're waiting currently on the Han Solo trailer, which I'm amazed we have not seen yet.
Yeah, it's been kind of weird, hasn't it? Because, like, usually by now we would have seen something for Solo.
I think this might be a smart strategy on the part of Lucasfilm and Kathleen Kennedy, because Star Wars has sowed so many seeds of negativity since The Last Jedi has come out. Imagine if they released a trailer for Han Solo. There wouldn't be a lot of enthusiasm. In fact, there's been a lot of non-enthusiasm for Star Wars since The Last Jedi. A lot of fans have kind of been quiet on Twitter, the ones I follow. It seems like a lot of people lost hope.
I don't know if it's lost hope or it's ever since Ron Howard took over, everyone's been going, okay, we will wait and see now.
Right. But I mean, I'm wondering if this is a strategy on their release, meaning because the climate hasn't been necessarily positive. I'm wondering if they want people to now want it, because if you notice, there was no want, like, whatever. When it comes, it comes. Now we're closing in on February and we still have not gotten a trailer.
Well, dude, I mean,
so do you think it's their strategy saying, hey, you know what? You guys weren't excited. Now we're going to make you want it. We're going to make you want it. It's like that hot chick, you know, that you didn't appreciate, that liked you. And then she knows suddenly that, you know, that you lost out.
But you just move on.
But she keeps swishing those. No, you don't move on. She keeps swishing those hips in front of you, wanting you to know and want it. Like, this is what you're not getting anymore. I'm wondering if that's what Kathleen Kennedy's doing. She's putting on, you know, Ewok panties.
Ewok panties.
And trying to tempt us, saying, you guys didn't want this. And now I'm going to make you want it. I'm going to make you want it, David.
It is an interesting point, because remember before Last Jedi came out, I mean, Rogue One came out and then it was still Star Wars. Everyone was talking about Star Wars. After Last Jedi, it's like dead silence.
Yeah, that's what
even
I'm saying.
Even down to Rebels.
I'm wondering if that's what they're doing on purpose. They're purposely not releasing it so that there's enthusiasm and want, because we want what we can't have. By it's basic human nature, human desire 101. Make them want it, make them ask for it, so that when it comes out, they're excited.
I wouldn't be surprised now that you bring it up, because, like, as mysterious as it is, I was really curious why they pushed back so much Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? I mean, like, they pushed back Rebels, they pushed back Solo.
Yep. And we're going to, there's some financial reasons. There is a lot of analysis that has been done, that has been done on Star Wars and the franchise and Disney and Lucasfilms in the wake of The Last Jedi negativity. And we're going to get into that. That's actually one of the topics. We're going to get into some of the financials. And I know that sounds rather boring, but it's not. I'm going to make it interesting. All right. Now, even though we have not got a trailer, and there are rumors that it may drop with the Super Bowl. It may drop during the Super Bowl. We'll see if that happens, whether or not that happens. However, we did get a synopsis as well as a list of planets that we will see in the upcoming standalone film. Okay, now the synopsis is for Han Solo is, hold on, let me bring it up. Very slow here. And also your camera just died on us, Dave.
Yeah, it was being called.
You know what? I'll fix it.
That was my professionalism.
I'll fix it during our break. All right. So pass me the Hydraspanders. We finally have a synopsis for the Han Solo flick. The release of Solo, a Star Wars story, is only a few short months away, and we still yet to receive a trailer. But today, Lucasfilm released, this was last week, the official synopsis via StarWars.com. No worries, the synopsis is spoiler-free, but that doesn't mean it lacks insight. The synopsis does aid and clarify exactly who will be the major players, and we now know that we will see what we'll see. And it is, in fact, Han Solo will witness Han Solo's meeting of Chewbacca.
There we go.
All right, David. Very professional.
Very professional.
Sorry. I'm going to throw a hydro spanner at your head. All right. So the synopsis is that was released board the Millennium Falcon and journey to a galaxy far, far away in Solo, a Star Wars story, an all new adventure with the most beloved scoundrel in the galaxy through a series of daring escapes deep within a dark and dangerous criminal underworld. Han Solo meets his mighty future co-pilot, Chewbacca, and encounters the notorious gambler, Lando Calrissian, in a journey that will set the course of one of the Star Wars saga's most unlikely heroes. That doesn't really sound like a movie synopsis, though. That sounds like a promo for a new ride at Disneyland.
It does, doesn't it?
Maybe that's just their way of selling it. Maybe they're having Disney PR managers now write synopsises for the movies. I don't know. But it, despite the fact that it sounds like a ride at Disneyland, I feel like it's a good way to sell it. It sells it, and the way it's worded is in such a way that it's a journey. It's an adventure.
Yeah, and it doesn't give away anything.
No, it doesn't give away any of the main plot aspects. It just simply tells us, hey, we're going to actually see when Han Solo meets Chewie and encounters Lando. So we get the idea that the story is going to focus around that. And what do we already know about Star Wars canon? For the most part, some of this has been retconned. I believe the novel, though, the Star Wars A New Hope novel, has established this in canon as well still to this day. And I'm hoping. But tell me if I'm wrong, though. I believe in the Star Wars A New Hope novel, it states that Chewie was, in fact, a prisoner of the Empire.
Yes.
Okay.
That is true.
Okay. Because if that's the case, then it's still canon.
It's still canon.
So taking that into account, Dave, I think we can then surmise what we might see in this movie. We may see Han Solo finally getting the Millennium Falcon, which I think that's a safe bet, right?
Yes.
We're going to see him winning the Millennium Falcon. I know there's been rumors that we're going to see a moment in Han Solo that we have always wondered about and we've heard about and they've alluded to. And I think this is going to be the movie that we're actually going to finally witness that fateful moment, the moment that the Millennium Falcon is handed reluctantly to Han Solo. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's time to have this type of adventure. And I think this, hopefully, if all things go according to Lucasfilm's plan, I think this will be a nice movie to help. I want to say silence some of the naysayers. I think Rogue One.
Pacify.
There we go. I feel like Rogue One was developed for fan service. And I think Han Solo is developed for the same reasons. It's the fan service standalone movies. They're giving the fans high concepts that we've wondered about, questioned about, talked about. So I think this will do wonders. I'm hoping. And Disney better hope too.
Disney better hope too, because I don't think, you know, while The Last Jedi did very well in the box office, I don't think that they want the negative publicity that they got.
Dave, it didn't do as well as we're being told. It did good for a movie.
It did good.
But for a Star Wars movie, it didn't do
it. For a Star Wars movie, no.
We're going to get into that in a moment. Yeah. Now, the three planets from Solo, a Star Wars story that has been confirmed. This can also give us a little bit of insight into what we may or may not see. And I think we can draw correlations to potential plots. All right. Now, there's been three planets from Solo, a Star Wars story that have been, in fact, confirmed by AMC Theaters. Most longtime Star Wars fans will not find the trio of planets a surprise. And this is according to StarWarsNews.net. But for a movie that has had little to no promotion, it is refreshing to see anything surface. I agree. Let's take a look at where we are headed this time in the galaxy far, far away. In the article, AMC Theater's official website, three primary locations from the upcoming Solo, A Star Wars Story have been confirmed. And it is Corellia, I've never heard of this one. Mimban? Where's that from, David? Can you Google that one?
Mimban?
Yeah, Mimban. It's Mimban.
Okay.
And the third is, of course, and it needed to be, Kessel.
Yes.
Now, I think
Kessel had to be there.
I think the takeaway from these three planets is it's what a lot of critics have said about Star Wars. Where are the new planets? Where are the new locales that we've heard of but never seen? And I think people need to pay attention, because Last Jedi was filled with various planets that we haven't seen. But this is taking something we've heard from Star Wars throughout the years, and also things that we've read just in books. So to see Corellia, which is the heart of the Navy, right? The Imperial Navy, where, again, this is old legends now, so we don't know if this is going to be brought back into canon, but the planet of Corellia was the heart of the Imperial Navy, where they created and built, constructed these monstrosity of vessels. Is that going to be brought back into canon? It'll be interesting to see.
It'll be interesting to see, especially since, you know, like, if I'm not correct, Corellia was the home planet of Han Solo.
Yes, you're right. It's also the homeworld of Han Solo. He's a Corellian human.
He's a Corellian human. And then, like, I found what Mimban was.
Okay.
Mimban, formerly known as Caracapus 5, was the home planet of the Conway, the Mimbites, and the extinct Trillia. During the Clone Wars...
Get a little closer to the mic. You're drifting a bit.
During the Clone Wars, the planet was a member of the Confederacy of the Independent Systems. Early in the war, a unit of the 224th, known as the Mud Jumpers, of the unit of the 44th Special Operations Division, known as the Devil Dogs, served on the planet and fought in the Battle of Mimban.
Where has it been seen?
Clone Wars.
Clone Wars. Okay. That's why it sounds familiar. Okay. Yeah. All right. So I feel like the one I'm looking forward to the most, though, is possibly Corellia, because of the robust lore from the old EU, and it'll be interesting to see how much they bring back in. Because we also know that Corellia is home of multiple species. It isn't just a human planet. There are other Corellian species as well. And I really, really would like to see the design of some of these,
creatures. Aliens. Also, something of interesting note, this is actually an interesting tidbit that I just found on the Star Wars Wiki about Mimban.
Okay.
Remember that basically Rogue One dealt with the Kyber crystal, right?
Right.
Mimban, the Galactic Empire used Mimban as a site for the Imperial Energy mining operation. It consisted of 5 makeshift mining towns, all run by Imperials.
Okay.
The legendary Kyber crystals was located deep in the junket within Mimban in the Temple of Pomingia. A powerful crystal rested within the ceremonial statue of a local god, and was guarded by a sluggish but deadly lizard creature.
Interesting.
I wonder if they're going to continue on with the whole... Remember, in Rogue One, the Kyber crystal was a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Kyber mining thing.
Right.
So I wonder if they're going to actually show another planet that was being mined for Kyber crystals, maybe, for Project Stardust.
Maybe have some type of loose connection.
Yeah.
It would be fun. I feel like... And this is something I talked about a lot last year. We keep hearing about this shared universe that they want to do, that they want to rival Marvel's cinematic universe, right?
Yes.
But we have yet to see, like, a true connection. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, yeah, we had the Rogue One. We had the Rogue One connection to the A New Hope, and that was a nice connection. But I'm talking about even when you're looking at Clone Wars, and you know, I take that back. We got Saw Gerrera from Clone Wars. I would like to see more of it. Maybe I'm just an unhappy, unsatisfied Star Wars fan. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I need to be smacked around verbally, David.
Verbally?
Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. That could also be the case. But getting back to Corellia. I'm sorry. No, getting back to what you said, Dave. Sorry. Yeah. I feel that despite the fact that we've had small connections, I think I would like to start seeing much bigger connections.
but not so much in the way that Marvel has done, because I feel like one movie has relied too much on the other for the most part. And it kind of makes you feel as an audience that you have to watch every single movie going in. And in years time, you know, as years go by, there's going to be people that just don't want to watch 15 movies before they have to, before they want to watch this new one.
Yeah.
So I don't want
like an entire story told.
Right. So I don't want Star Wars to get into that territory. I think it's dangerous for writing your movie. I think they need to be, for the most part, a little bit separate. But I wouldn't mind seeing some deeper connections to some of the extended universe, the things that are now either retconned or things that have been established as canon, and then having them be brought back in via a movie. Corellia, I'm looking forward to. Kessel, I think it had to be, with the whole famous line, you know, the Kessel run in, yes, what is it, 12 parsecs?
Oh, yeah.
I think it had to be. I think if you're dealing with a movie pertaining to Han Solo, there's certain things that you're going to have to put in it. You're going to have the introduction of Chewbacca and Lando. You're going to have the planet of Corellia. You're going to have the Millennium Falcon. You're going to have the Kessel. And maybe we'll even see the Kessel run. Those are the types of things that I think would really help generate positivity within the Star Wars fandom right now.
Oh, yeah.
Giving us some of those long-awaited answers, moments. Things dating back to 1977, David.
Oh, yeah.
And now suddenly, when we never thought we would see it, we finally get to see the actual Kessel run.
One of the biggest questions, too, besides like getting to see all that stuff, was also getting to see one of my favorite characters has always been Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And the last time we saw Chewbacca before, quote unquote, the timeline of this,
mm-hmm,
the new Star Wars,
right,
was in Revenge of the Sith.
That's
where,
right,
he's helping Yoda. So I'm like trying to I want to actually see, how are they going to explain Chewbacca back then? And they might go with the route that, like what you said, that he was a prisoner.
Yeah.
That after that, after the battle on Kashyyyk, he probably was taken prisoner by the Republic.
If they wanted to bring back an old EU element or a narrative arc for a character like Chewie, I think that would make sense, particularly because of what you just said about Revenge of the Sith and the rise of the Empire from the ashes of the Republic and the war between the Separatists. So I think it makes a lot of sense for them to bring that back in. And I think it would make a lot of the diehard Star Wars fans happy to see that finally come about. Because we've always heard about the life debt, but why does Chewie have a life debt?
Why does he have a life debt?
Yeah, I think it would be really cool to check that out and actually kind of get into that and explore that a bit. But again, we're also dealing with a movie that's 2 hours long. How much can you, exactly, really throw in before it feels like you're just throwing shit in there?
You have 2 hours and you have three planets.
Yeah,
what are you going to do?
Yeah. It's not an easy task by any means. Also, before we go to a break, Dave, there has been some rumors that have been slipping in the interwebs pertaining to the Han Solo movie as well. In regards to directing, we've heard from numerous sources that Ron Howard is, in fact, the one and only director of the Han Solo movie.
Yes.
That Chris Miller and Phil Dumbass Lord will not have directing credit because over 90% of the movie was allegedly reshot.
You just won't forgive those two.
No,
will
fuck
you?
Them. I'm going to throw Rian Johnson in there as well.
Rian Johnson's right in there with them.
Yeah. Can we do a change.org to just shoot them all? Oh, David. Now I'm threatening someone's life. I'm just joking. I like Rian Johnson.
I don't like Phil Lord.
All right, where was I? What was I talking about, Dave? You distracted me.
You were talking about the director, yeah, change.
We've heard through numerous sources that over 90% of the movie was allegedly reshot when Ron Howard stepped onto set. But then there was interviews done by a couple actors, and they said they never even had a scene where Ron Howard directed, that they didn't have a problem with Chris Miller. They thought everything was going fine, and they were never called back to reshoot their scenes. So either A, their scenes were cut, or B, Ron Howard didn't truly direct as much as we're being led to believe.
Well, then why would they call him in, though? Why? And why would they actually make a big spectacle of actually Phil Lord and...
No. I'm not saying he didn't direct. I'm saying that they may not have truly redone 90% of the movie. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh.
Or they could have, the actors they spoke to could very well be similar to what happened to Michael K. Williams, the actor that is from Boardwalk Empire and Happen Leonard. He was supposed to have a fairly big role in Han Solo, and his scenes were shot, and his entire scene was cut and reshot and recasted with Paul Bettany because they couldn't get him back there due to his scheduling conflicts.
Yeah. That could
so that could also be the case as well. Those actors probably don't even know their scenes were cut.
How messed up would it be? And they go and say, I want to see my scene. Hey, that's not me.
Yeah. Well, wait a second.
Wait a minute. I'm not white.
Oh, I thought those were my lines. There's a duplicate scene.
That's sad. Oh, that'd be so sad.
That's terrible. All right. We need to go to a very, very, very quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the business side of The Last Jedi. It doesn't sound as boring as it's going to be. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Stormtrooper 1, this is just a friendly reminder. Please leave us a review on Stitcher. Go to Stitcher.com and search From the Back to Tank. Every review left helps us get seen by more people. And we thank you so much. Remember, go to Stitcher.com and search From the Back to Tank. Thank you.
This is so exciting to see in your side.
Hey. You're not supposed to be in the studio.
Whoops.
See that red light? Yeah, that means I'm live and on the air.
This is very, very bad.
Get out.
No. Allow him. Good day.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL30. That's DEAL30 at AdamandEve.com.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man.
Yeah. The new Apple updates.
There's an update, right? Yeah.
They're just silly. I mean, when I think updates, I think, hey,
this
let's have a stronger platform, a better system. I just spitball.
Better performance.
Give me some more ideas that you think would come with an update.
Battery consumption is reduced.
Okay.
You know, resolution maybe on the screen. I don't need to update that.
Better content, video quality content.
Yes.
Actual bokeh effects.
He's such a douche.
God damn it.
He's such an...
In English.
He's an autistic douche.
Did you...
I'm gonna name things that nobody knows. Spectrometer of the atmospheric pressure.
It was a linchpin for the iPhone 7.
They're turning into a stupid version of Facebook.
Meal.
I don't need a giant emoji from my mother when I'm asking her if she's coming to town this weekend.
Big fucking smiley face.
I don't need it! What teenager is running the Apple board meetings? Tim Cook is not a genius. You know what he's using? He's using his high school daughter to come up with ideas. He's like, hey, honey, come, let's have lunch tonight. You want to come to work? It's bring your daughter to work day. Give me some ideas. What do you guys want?
It probably is.
Well,
dude.
We like emojis. He's chewing gum. That's chewing gum. Good idea. Tim Cook needs it. Can we, like, get the death dealer and, like... Like, so let's you know what? Let's do a change.org to kill Tim Cook and Frankenstein back to life, Steve Jobs. Let's dig him up, sew him together.
Get some backing.
And you know his brain's alive still. You know they froze that.
Yeah.
And like, we'll just put him in a little machine and it'll get him to start working on Apple products again.
Just like Walt Disney, they froze him and they're waiting for the
Imagine 100 years.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit.
A lot of people don't know that. We have Walt Disney and Carbonite. That was the ultimate deal we made with George Lucas.
And there's Han Solo.
We got the copyright details on how to make Carbonite.
They're going to Darth Vader him. We can rebuild him.
Yes, that's great. Sometimes I go and play with his frozen balls.
Oh.
It's really fun.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker. But you are not a Jedi.
You're listening to From the Back to Tank on Rain Man Digital.
All right, welcome back. Star Wars From the Back to Tank. If you missed any part of the broadcast, you can find us on Stitcher and iTunes if you're just now finding us through hashtags on social media. I know we got quite a bit of people listening in on the live channel, which is nice for our first show back. However, you can get our shows on demand. Just search for it on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search Star Wars From the Back to Tank. Also, the Rain Man Digital app, David, people can find us there as well. Just search Rain Man at Digital in your app stores, and you can have the entire network with you in your pocket
where you need it.
Yeah, wherever you want to go. Put it on vibrate really close to the peen, and then when you get a push notification letting you know that the show's live, you can associate a sensation of sorts to our show.
That's not the Force.
That all right, since we're talking about sensations, let's talk about talk about Stormy Daniels.
Oh, okay.
Now, Stormy Daniels is a porn star that was very popular in the, I'd say, mid-2000s to early 2000s. Kind of died out. Recently has gained a little bit of fame of sorts due to the fact that she's associated in some way, allegedly, to our great president, Donald Trump. But recently, she made Star Wars news when, David, please.
All right, this comes
from us in.
From people.com. Basically, the headline is Mark Hamill responds after Stormy Daniels slams Star Wars The Last Jedi as the worst movie ever.
Oh, wait a second. Stormy Daniels hated The Last Jedi?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh.
So apparently Stormy Daniels is casting a dark cloud over the new Star Wars movie.
Hmm.
The last.
Why can't she cast her giant bosoms? Over all of us.
Those are no moons.
Oh.
The Last Jedi director.
But it is a cave.
It is a cave. Very deep cave.
Or there's Minock in that cave.
This is
not what giant worms have been in that cave.
Oh, wow, that's Dave.
Like, the last Jedi director, Rian Johnson, jokingly retweeted the porn star's negative review of the blockbuster on Thursday.
Yeah.
Adding a smiley face with stars in its eyes. Fuck you, Rian Johnson, she tweeted after the movie premiered in December.
Aggressive.
She also called it the worst movie ever while replying to a fan. You can see the tweet.
Hold on a second, Dave. Let's be fair here. If Rian Johnson wanted to be an asshole, I would have retweeted her that and said, I think you've probably been in far worse movies.
That's what I was like thinking myself. But you know what? Some of those movies are very popular.
I'm like, hey, you know what? It's so sad that you said that. I actually was getting ready to call your agent to see if you wanted to be in my next movie. Just joking.
But Luke Skywalker actor Mark Hamill decided to get in on the fun as well, retweeting Johnson's post with the caption, another satisfied customer. Further on in the thing, it explains that Daniel's background. Daniel's entered the mainstream spotlight after the Wall Street Journal reported earlier than
who cares about that? I just think it's funny that she tweeted Rian Johnson about that.
I think it's hilarious that Mark Hamill retweeted back to her.
That's amazing.
Because only Mark Hamill can actually retweet back to trolls and make it fun.
I'm not afraid.
Well, how else can you truly? How else do you respond to trolls? You gotta have a sense of humor about it. Yeah. Otherwise, you're gonna take a gun and put it to your head. Can you imagine millions of people tweeting you, telling you fucking suck? Dude, I couldn't do it, man. I would probably die.
Oh yeah. And the thing is no, I love how Mark Hamill basically, if you read his tweet, he says another satisfied customer and then he puts a kissy emoji on it.
Why isn't there like a dick sucking emoji?
I don't know, like I expect Mark Hamill to also put a link to her movie.
All right. That's just funny. You know, I just think how it's funny how so, and this is where we're going to get into the trolley aspect of the show, I guess. So we're going to delve into some of that negativity a bit. And
well,
we're
dude,
going,
it honestly is a pretty dark time for Star Wars.
And I want to be objective about this, like our review was, but I'm also going to give the pros and cons of some of the decisions that Lucasfilm and Disney is making. I think, I don't care who you are, numbers don't lie. Yeah. I'm wondering, this is the question I'm going to pose. I'm not going to state this as an absolute because I'm not a Sith. Okay. So I'm going to pose it as a question. Is it time for Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm to make some changes? You have The Last Jedi that is now sitting at 48% and dropping on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Now I'm not a fan of Rotten Tomatoes. I feel like it's become a home of lots of trolls. However, that doesn't take away the validity to a lot of these comments. You thought The Force Awakens hate was bad. It was The Force Awakens hate was a very small portion of the fandom.
And it was a slow burn, too, because not a lot of people started hating on it till like months after.
And also over time, though, it's weird because it was like a roller coaster of emotion. I feel like people had expectations, so they hated. And then they went back and they watched it and they're like, oh, well, this isn't actually that bad. This is actually pretty good. And that's how I look at it as well. Force Awakens is a very fun, well-written movie. It may not have everything you want in it, but it did the job that the first movie was supposed to do. And that's why I think people can go back and watch it and reflect on it and say retrospectively that, hey, you know what? This movie deserves 89-90%, which it ended with a 90% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is a very good score for a movie. But then you have Last Jedi that's not increasing.
Yes.
It's dropping. It just continues to drop. And before the end of the spring, I'm willing to bet that it's going to get down to 42, 43%. And yes, you can chalk it off. And if you want to be an asshole about it and say, ah, fuck them, they're trolls. But that's a number you have to look at.
It is.
Yes, the majority of them are trolls. But also you can't just shrug it off and say, fuck them. We're going to continue to do what we're doing and we don't care because the core audience aren't the only ones complaining. There's average moviegoers who aren't avid Star Wars nerds like you and I, David, who leave the movie theater and years past they can walk out of a movie theater and say that was a fun Star Wars movie. You have those exact same people who aren't passionately emotionally invested like us nerds who are walking out of the movie and saying that was a bad movie.
Yes.
That was a very poorly written movie. And these are average people. And I feel like even the core fans who like to bitch and complain about some of the problems and I feel like they're being discredited by the other side saying, oh, they just have expectations. People have their own movies in their head. And yes, that is true to a point. I think we all have expectations. That's always going to be the case when you're dealing with Star Wars. You're going on, 40 years of Star Wars. That is always going to be the case. You're always going to have those expectations no matter what. But you can't discredit them and simply say, oh, they have expectations. Because a lot of people don't understand writing. So when they walk out of the theater, they're upset about this and they're upset about that. And yeah. They're just nitpicking because they're upset about it, but they don't fully understand what was wrong with the movie. And it comes down to simply the script. And most people, they're not writers. So when people walk out of a movie and say, I didn't like it. Well, why didn't you? Oh, because Luke died or this happened. I'm like, well, is that really why you didn't like it? Because if it was a tight script that focused the story and there was more than just 20 to 25 minutes of actual story, I feel like there'd be a lot less naysayers. I feel like people wouldn't have walked out of the movie despite the decisions, because the problem with The Last Jedi was not the decisions. This isn't my movie. I'm never going to hate a movie because they made a decision that I wanted or I didn't want. That's not what makes me decide whether or not a movie was good.
Yeah.
I don't go in there expecting to see my movie because I didn't make the movie. I expect to see a movie that was well thought out, especially when we're dealing with Star Wars. We're dealing with a story that's very emotional, and we're invested in these characters. And when we spend 25 minutes on the story and you have 2 hours of roller coaster blockbuster movie antics, there's a problem there.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's the thing. When I look back at Last Jedi, I'm like going, most of the stuff that we give positives on, right, are the stuff like normal hardcore Star Wars fans are going to like. You know, we liked the Yoda scene. We liked Luke's stuff. We like the Force scenes. But they were very few and far in between. When you look at the story as a whole, that's when you start actually seeing the chinks in the armor.
That's racist. You say chinks? Come on, David.
The breaks in the armor. How's that?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, so you see the cracks and the breaks in the armor because like the writing was just so bad. Like you take into effect that the story of Rose, Finn, and Poe was so poorly written and right. So rushed,
right,
that it damaged the other
yeah.
things to the point that you can only enjoy it if you were a hardcore Star Wars fan.
Yeah. And now I don't want to get into review part two. That's not the point necessarily, but I feel like I think there's a problem in the around just over the horizon. And I would think it would be remiss of Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm to just say, yeah, whatever, fuck it. We're not going to make any changes. You're 3 movies in, Dave.
Yeah.
You're 3 movies in and and the moviegoers are harboring this type of resentment already. You're 3 movies in. This type of hate didn't happen with Marvel until the 7th or 8th movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the franchise, this new era of the franchise is way too young to have this type of negativity connected to it. So you are going to see. Kathleen Kennedy, smart. You are going to see some changes moving forward. They're going to have to be less about, and I've never said this before because I didn't believe it was happening. But when you look at The Last Jedi, and I'm not against progressive thought, David. That's a given.
Yeah.
And I always say this on every show I do. I'm about using art to push progressive thought. 100%. Art has always been used for that purpose. However, when it becomes the focus of your movie and you decide to trump everything else for the sake of diversity and making sure you're checking off your boxes. Oh, we have an Asian. We have a black girl. We have a black guy. We have a white girl. We have a white male. It seems like they're too focused on checking off boxes with The Last Jedi, making sure they fit that representation card rather than focusing on telling a story.
Yeah.
I wouldn't care if the movie's filled with women as long as you focused on the story. That's not the problem. The problem is the emphasis with The Last Jedi was put on diversity. That's what they pushed. You had Finn, Finn's a black dude. There's your diversity right there. But instead of focusing a story on him, you focus on an Asian character because you don't have any Asian individuals representing. So yes. They have to make a storyline that was useless because they needed to check that box.
And it is.
We don't need the goddamn United fucking Nations in a Star Wars film. Just make a goddamn movie.
Yes. And I think this goes in line in like what one of the discussions me and you have been touching
and,
on.
And just for the people, Dave, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I hate doing that, David. But I want to reiterate this for people who may just be tuning in. We're not white. I am Mexican and David's Filipino.
Sometimes mistaken as Mexican.
There's two minorities expressing an issue with diversity.
Yes.
So if we are looking at it objectively and we're like, your focus is on diversity, not fucking telling a story, you have a fucking problem. I don't need to be represented in every movie. David doesn't need to be represented in every movie. Focus on your story. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
That's what people is going to remember. And in 20 or 30 years, this representation isn't going to matter because this is a trend. Every 10 to 15 years, we get something new that we have to put into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to look back and say, wow, that was fucking dumb. There was no balance at all. So there's going to be changes. Now, Dave, before I move on, what were you going to say when I rudely cut you off?
Well, it goes in line with like the discussions that me and you've been having in other shows. Is kind of like the way that movie storytelling, going to the theaters and going to see a movie, the way movies are set up now, can you tell a good story? Can you? Because like nowadays, everyone just goes automatically to that diversity route or tries to stand on a soapbox or something, and it's something political.
Yep.
But instead of actually doing what, say, like streaming television or TV shows are doing and telling really good, impactful stories.
Yeah.
Within episodes.
Yeah. Always focus on your story. Everything else will fall into place. Focus on your story. That's what needs to be the purpose.
Yeah.
And I understand this is a blockbuster movie and people may point to issues in the prequels. And yes, the prequels do have some issues. The original trilogy has some issues. Let's not get caught up in nostalgia. No movie is perfect. But the prequels, and I said this during our review, the prequels, say what you want about them, they covered a lot of ground. There was a lot of story. There was a lot of story there. They didn't have, except for Phantom Menace with the pod racing scene. And again, I think I might have said this in our review of The Last Jedi. Except for maybe that scene, there wasn't unjustified action sequences that served no purpose to the story. And you can even argue the pod racing scene was important to the story to establish that Anakin is a capable pilot, that he's a capable mechanic, that he has the Jedi reflexes, and that this person is born with natural talent. You can even argue that. It's about Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
However, let's now circle back to The Last Jedi. The Rose scene with Finn, it just served no story.
And honestly, we've been on hiatus for a little while, so I've had time to think about this since the last time we were on air for From the Back to Tank when we did The Last Jedi. The more I thought about it, I'm not going to hate on The Last Jedi, but you hit it right on the head. The problem with the prequels wasn't what was in the prequels, okay? It was, for me, partly the execution. The beautiful thing was it stuck to its guns and it stuck to a story.
And there was a story.
There was a story there.
You may not agree with all of it.
I may not agree with it.
But there was a story.
There was a story.
Yeah. You know, people say, well, it's your expectations. Listen, not one of the prequels hit my expectations.
Yeah.
Not one of them. But it doesn't mean they were bad movies. And it doesn't mean I dislike them and I hate them. There was story there. That's all I want. I want a story.
My answer to one of my friends who's actual film critic and is one of the people who actually puts Star Wars Last Jedi on a 98. And the one thing that I stopped him dead in his tracks, I told him, okay, tell me what is the story at this point for this new trilogy? And did Last Jedi answer and progress it along? And he said, and the first thing he said is the story centers around Rey.
Right.
Right. Okay. I said, okay, it centers around Rey. Did Rey do anything in The Last Jedi to progress her story? We still don't know who her parents are. We still don't know what she's all about. She's trying to find her place in the universe and she's a Jedi. We knew that from the very beginning. There was no progression to it. The story stopped dead in its tracks and he couldn't come up with an answer. He couldn't come up with a retort to me. And I said that is what's the problem with storytelling, not in just Last Jedi, but just in filmmaking and in blockbusters in general. The story stops dead in its tracks because the storytelling's so shallow.
Right. Now, Dave, let's now bring it back to objectivity.
Yes.
And let's look at the facts and go back to the question that I pose. Should there be concerns? Should there be changes? Will they change? An article from Wall Street Journal came out just today. The Last Jedi loses sales momentum, raising concern for Disney. The film fell about 200 million short of some analysis forecasts in the US and Canada as it flopped in China. And this is actually slightly wrong. I have other numbers from my box office sources that I use that we'll get into in a moment. 6 years after Walt Disney Company spent $4 billion to buy a single franchise, Star Wars, it's looking a little less stellar, despite being one of the past year's most successful movies. Absolutely. Star Wars The Last Jedi has fallen short of Wall Street's expectations due to a faster than expected fall off at the box office, declining toy sales.
Oh, yeah.
And a poor showing in China.
That's what, as funny as it sounds, I think that's what crushed it.
This is the problem that we're seeing here. And money is God, and money will make the decision over anything else. And that's why I believe you're going to see changes happening really fast, because Disney did not spend $4 billion. Yes, they've made a lot of money, but this is Disney we're talking about. They bought a behemoth, and if they hope to keep it the monstrosity that it was for 35 years before they got their hands on it, they have to make changes. And if those changes mean Kathleen Kennedy is out and they bring somebody else in, then you're going to see that happen. Kathleen Kennedy can no longer shrug off people's opinions, say, well, fuck it. This is the movies I'm making. These are the movies I'm making, and I don't care what the fanboys and the fangirls say. But you're going to have to worry about the general audience and the negative word of mouth. You're going to have to worry about those things. This is a business. The bottom line, they are three movies in, and there is a massive fallout in a way that hasn't been seen for a very long time. I got the numbers here, David, from my box office source. Okay, just to bring a little bit of perspective to this discussion, Star Wars Force Awakens, domestic total, $936 million. Domestic for Force Awakens, or for The Last Jedi, $611 million.
That's just amazing.
$300 million shy. Foreign, $1.1 billion for The Force Awakens. The Last Jedi, not even a billion. $701 million. Worldwide for Force Awakens, $2.1 billion. Worldwide, $1.2 billion for The Last Jedi. Those are numbers to worry about. And the reason why, yes, the numbers are huge, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is that every sequel makes more money. Exactly. That's how it goes. As the franchise moves along, you make more and more money. That's how it's always been. Yes, there's been some dips throughout the years, but for the most part, franchises continue to grow. And the fact, David, that this is the second outing, the third outing for Disney, and we're already having this type of box office slump, that's a huge, huge problem.
Especially if you take into account when you look at the article and compare Last Jedi to Rogue One. Now, Last Jedi, put it in perspective, that Last Jedi and Force Awakens, those are the flagship movies. Mm-hmm. Those are the big blockbusters. Those were the old things. Rogue One and a Star Wars story elements, like even Solo, those are not supposed to make big money. They're not expecting big money from that.
Right. We're talking about just the Skywalker, the main franchise.
The main franchise is supposed to be the tentpole.
Yeah.
Rogue One made more box office revenue overseas than The Last Jedi.
Yeah, there's a problem there. There's an absolute problem. And you can't. I'm telling you right now, David, the CEOs are not just happy. They're worried. They're stressed out because this was a major investment. And they hope for Star Wars to be a launching pad for revenue for years to come. But if you don't see some changes fast, this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because you're going to end up losing your audiences because Star Wars is going to be remembered as something bad. This type of thing didn't even happen with the prequels when people were upset at some of the prequels. We didn't see numbers dip like this. So this is an issue, and I feel like you're going to definitely see some changes happening. I'm not saying people are getting fired. I'm saying you're going to see a change in the direction of casting decisions and narrative choices. And I'm hoping they're a little more subtle with some of their American ideology. And let us remember that as well. This new movement that we have is exclusive to the Americas, to United States. So we're pushing this ideology on people, this progressive thought to other nations where we hope to make money. And they're not on board the trend.
Yeah.
You have people, reviewers. I'm going to post these on our webpage so people know I'm not making this up. Reputable critics from other countries griped about the appearance of the stars. That the reason why these movies aren't connecting with an international audience is due to the fact that many of the cast members are unattractive.
Yeah.
And that sounds horrible.
It sounds horrible.
But there's a reason why. There's a reason why stars, A-listers, are attractive. There's a reason why the Brad Pitts of the world, the George Clooney's, the Scarlett Johansson's, the Robert Downey Jr.'s, the Chris Evans, the Chris Hemsworth's. It's a reason why Chris Hemsworth is Thor and not Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
And we can pretend like beauty doesn't exist and we can pretend that we're not superficial. But when we go see a movie, we want to see Chris Hemsworth because we want the boys want to pretend we're him. We want to pretend we're buff. We want to pretend we have the long locks that the women love. We want to escape reality.
Exactly. That's it right there. You want to escape.
You want to escape. You don't want to see Seth Rogen. You're not going to get swept up in the moment of things thinking that you're Seth Rogen. And same thing with the girls. The girls don't go see Seth Rogen in tights. They go see Chris Hemsworth. And there was a direct problem from a lot of the critics pertaining to the casting choices of The Last Jedi. And I'm not going to pick on anybody in particular. But there's a reason why we cast attractive looking people in movies, because there's a connection. You got to have that draw.
Yeah, I have the draw.
People want to go to the movie to see pretty good looking people. Not pretty good looking people. Good and pretty people. That's just how it is. That's the movies. You're never going to change that. Your ideology that you're trying to force on people isn't going to change the world. We're not going to suddenly like ugly people because you are telling us to. And I know that sounds very insensitive, David. I'm not the best looking individual out there. I am a realist. I get it. You got to sell your movie, and that includes all the fixings and the packaging that goes with it.
Yes.
So you're going to see them make those changes as well.
And the thing is like what you mentioned, stuff like this is very important because, like, not just for the movie aspect, but everything that has been done to Star Wars this past year has not been good. Like, further on in the article, they actually do mention that toy sales went down. Now, people might think that that's big deal. That's a big deal.
Especially to Disney and Lucasfilm. Star Wars is a big deal.
Star Wars was number one for a long time, and then it dropped to number two. And then on top of that, then you have the negativity from the video game aspect this past year with EA and Battlefront 2. These things, stuff like this adds on to, like, the problems to a franchise.
The negative hate train. They're adding to the negative hate train.
It just adds to it and it takes down a franchise.
And I've never been aboard that, Dave. In fact, if people go back and listen to all my shows, I've been pro Lucasfilm. I've been pro Kathleen Kennedy. I've been pro Disney. I've been pro Star Wars, saying, yes, this is the new era. I'm on board. I'm with it. I don't care. Let's do this. I don't care about, you know, there being women as leads. That's fine. I mean, we've had six Star Wars films where the focus has been on men. Oh, who gives a shit? Let's have some women in there. But if that's your focus, as I was saying, if that's your whole goal, you can see why these problems are happening.
Yes.
Let's have diversity, but also let's have the focus on what people want to see and also have those tight stories. So there's a lot. There's a lot riding on Han Solo. Because I don't think...
And that's the scary part, too.
Yes, it is. I don't think Disney can take another negative hit right now. They can't take any more negativity. It's way too early in their run to have yet another potential negative stinker.
Can you imagine if Solo came out and even with Ron Howard backing them up, if it fails,
yeah, man,
that could be a
I'm stressed out.
That could be a game clincher for like the franchise.
I'm worried, and I'm worried from a selfish point of view because I want Star Wars. I don't want Star Wars to stop. I don't want them slowing down. I want them to keep giving us these Star Wars films. But I want these movies to do good.
And for like fans out there that are basically saying, oh, you guys are just like being Chicken Little and saying the sky is falling.
No,
we're not, because guess what? The same things that are happening to Star Wars, right? Someone pointed this out in one of the comments down below. The same thing happened to Star Trek. Star Trek disappeared off the face of the planet.
Yeah.
And we went without that franchise for years.
Yeah, we're not going to see that type of thing happen. It can happen, but we're not going to see it happen because Disney won't allow it. This is too important to them. They're going to fix. There's one thing that's more important than anything to Disney, and that's the bottom line. And we're not Chicken Little screaming the sky is falling. And even if we are, guess who else is? The CEOs of Disney.
Disney.
They're also Chicken Little.
Yeah.
And they are fucking screaming the sky is falling because they want dollars. They want money. Yeah. They want more money. And if they see that the money is slowing down,
they're just going to cut the cord.
Yeah. They're screaming as well. They're paranoid. They don't want to lose this cash cow. I guess that kind of wraps the show. I'm hoping it wasn't a negative show. It's just kind of a show that I wanted to bring some perspective to the Last Jedi argument. I feel like there's just a lot of people being discredited.
And yeah, I mean, and to those fans, hey, if you enjoyed Last Jedi, fantastic.
Yeah, keep telling people it was great.
It was great.
We can get some positive word of mouth so that we don't lose Star Wars. Because I'm not saying I want Star Wars to suck. I want to do better. I want positivity. I want this to keep going. So let's get it there. But again,
you got to be real.
Yeah. All right. We need to close out today's show. I want to thank you, David.
Thank you.
And I want to thank everybody else for tuning in. Again, find us on Stitcher and iTunes as well as the Rain Man digital app. Thank you, David.
Thank you. May the force be with us.
Hello, this is Stormtrooper 1. And if you've missed any portion of the show, you can always head over to FromTheBackToTank.com and listen to the show at your leisure. We're also on Stitcher, Smart Radio, Stitcher.com, search Bacta, and add us to your favorites. Thank you. And listen responsibly. And may the Force be with you. And long live. Thank you for listening to From Back to Tank. From the Back to Tank is executive produced by Michael Flores and Dustin Lucas. Hosted by Michael Flores, David Sabal. You can find out more about our show by going to www.fromthebacktotank.com. You can also find us on Twitter at FromBackToTank, as well as Facebook, facebook.com/FromTheBackToTank.